today's homily is Whither Thou Goest. The scripture is actually a prelude to last week's gospel. That you will weep and lament before your sorrow will be turned to joy when Christ returns. In the interim, he has provided us the Holy Spirit to comfort us and to proclaim Christ to be the Savior of mankind. Next week, we will celebrate the fifth Sunday after Easter, or Rogation Sunday, as we close out the Easter season and begin our preparation for the longest season of the liturgical year. Our Episcopal cousins call it the season of Pentecost. We call it the Trinity season. Today's lesson introduces us to the Holy Spirit, whom Jesus refers to as the Comforter. The Holy Spirit is our personal connection to the other members of the Trinity because he dwells in us. In addition, every member of the Trinity is familiar with both heaven and earth. As an example, in terms of heaven and earth, you will recall God walking with Adam in the Garden of Eden, as recorded in Genesis, as well as Jesus' 3 decades of life on earth, as recorded in the 4 Gospels. And now the Holy Spirit comes on earth to dwell in Christians. We are told that no longer is the temple made of brick and stone, but now God's temple is made of the flesh of our spirits. That may sound like an oxymoron, but I believe that the flesh of our spirit is our souls. The Holy Spirit lives in our inner temple, our souls, and it is our connection to the Father and the Son. Now that Jesus Christ has ascended to heaven to sit on the right hand of God, that does not mean that the Father and Son will not visit us on occasion. 2 examples where God and Jesus visited man on earth are recorded in the Old Testament, where God met Moses on Mount Sinai. And in the New Testament, where Jesus met Saul, later named Paul, on the road to Damascus. Since the other members of the Trinity visit earth, we are told to treat strangers with compassion, for we could be in the presence of Christ or God's angels. As an example, in Hebrews chapter 13, we read, "Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing some have unwittingly entertained angels." Again, in Matthew 25, we read, "Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the king will answer and say to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of my brethren, you did it to me." Then he will also say to those on the left hand, "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devils and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. And I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. I was naked, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Know that in this day and time, it is a dangerous proposition to entertain a stranger, for often that stranger is out to do us harm. The great deceiver himself, or his many angels, is out to devour us like a roaring lion. Therefore, we should be cautious, yet we are reminded that it was just as dangerous to entertain a stranger in Jesus' day as it is today. We should not neglect strangers, and when we do meet them, we should do so with great discretion. It is said that discretion is the greater part of valor. No doubt it is a tightrope for us to walk, but if we measure the risk-reward for God's help discerning the real stranger versus the needy, then the Holy Spirit will lead us in peace and safety. Often when I give to strangers, I remind them that the source of their help they receive from me is from God. This opens a door to witness to them, and it protects us from harm. We should remember that the power in us is greater than the power that's in the world. And we should also be careful not to judge the stranger or the needy, because judgment is definitely God's department. And I know often people will give this way: "I won't give them any money because I know they're going to take that money and run to the closest ABC liquor store and buy them a fifth of liquor and gobble it down." Now, what have we just done? We've become judge, right? Or some will say, well, I'm not going to give them money because what I'll do, I'll go buy them a meal and I'll give them the meal to ensure that they get the food that they need. There again, is that the right thing to do? Therefore, we're judging that person. It is not our place to judge. God is very selfish and very jealous about His role. He is the ultimate and final judge. We are not to judge other people. That would be a great harm for us. So I would contend that in helping strangers, help them, love them, speak things that Christ has told us to do, and don't judge them. That's God's department. Hence, the lesson for today is that the Holy Spirit is the source of our lives and our guide in a challenging and dangerous world. In Greek, we learn the word for Holy Spirit is Parakletos. Jesus had prepared His disciples for future persecution, just like us. And we too face the same persecution today as the apostles did in their day. We regularly hear about the reports of Christians around the world under attack from evil forces that seek our demise. Lately, we have witnessed the random and wholesale murder of Christians in Nigeria and Syria. And in many areas of the world, Christians are viewed as infidels. One religion even calls us that in their holy scriptures. Unfortunately, these misguided devotees of other religions are the greatest enemy of Christians, but then an argument can be said, we may be our greatest enemy. I was just reading yesterday online about Saudi Arabian marrying a Christian, and some high court has called for her to be beaten 100 times and then hanged. So I think the story is well clear. We're all aware that we are under attack. The disciples were downtrodden, for they had not completely understood that Jesus had to fulfill the will of His Father and return to heaven so that the Holy Spirit could begin His work on earth through them. And something just came to me just then. They were sad that Jesus was parting to no longer be with them. You know, when Christ was on that cross and He said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why have You forsaken Me? Looking down on that cross and looking up at His Father, He's wondering, where are You? Why have You left Me? And I suspect that apostles at this very moment were thinking that very thing, because He's just told them that I'm going to leave you now. I just came back for 40 days and I'm going to leave you again. It's like, well, you can't. You just got back here. You just got here. But no, if I'm to fulfill My will, just like He did on that cross, if I'm to fulfill My Father's will, I'm going to have to leave you. So we ask, well, why did He have to leave? He had to leave to allow the Holy Spirit to come dwell among us. Because you see, as part of the Trinity, now it's the Holy Spirit's time. It's time for Him to come do His work. And what is His work? His work is to proclaim the majesty of Jesus Christ. How did the Holy Spirit work through the disciples then and us now? He does that in 4 ways. First, He tells us the truth and convinces us of the validity of the gospel. For once we become believers, He convicts us of our sins and shows us how it separates us from God. This is not the same as having a conscience which shows us the difference between good and evil. We are born innocent, and one can choose to live a life so corrupt that he or she may never remember the difference between right or wrong. The Scripture called this condition being deaf, dumb, and blind. So the Holy Spirit convinces us of the sovereignty of Christ and convicts the world of sin through righteousness and judgment. Second, He gives us comfort since we are desperate to be in His presence. Just as the apostles did, knowing that one day He will be with them in heaven with His Father. The Comforter remains with us at all times because He dwells in us. He is our intercessor to God. The Comforter knows our strengths and weaknesses because He is tempted just like Jesus was tempted. He knows exactly what we're going through. Number 3, the Holy Comforter reminds us of the consequences of sin and that one day judgment will come and the righteous will be vindicated and the unrighteous will be vanquished. And lastly, number 4, the Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus and reveals the majesty of Him to His believers. Christ is the only one He serves, and Christ alone. He glorifies Christ because He was sent to proclaim Jesus' name above all names as the Son of God and the Messiah. The Holy Comforter, who is also called the Spirit of Truth, leads believers to Christ, who alone is the truth. The Holy Spirit is not here to start a new movement or to proclaim a new message. He is the number one advocate of Christ Jesus because He is the messenger bringing the truth to a lost world. And this goes back to that dance I spoke about a few Sundays ago. Christ is dancing with the Holy Spirit, who's dancing with God. And it's a love dance, an incredible love dance. And we're right in the middle of it. Therefore, if we repent and accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we will go to be with Him and His Father in heaven. And it is a part of God's ultimate plan to reconcile His relationship with mankind. This is His will. This is God's will. Christ's heavenly return fulfilled the Old Testament prophecies and validated His life of truth and justice for all peoples. He fulfilled the will of His Father when He conquered sin and defeated death on the cross, and His resurrection made God's will complete. Now He has gone ahead to prepare a place for us that one day we will join Him in heaven. And as we read in John 14, "In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to Myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And in closing, "Cante para Trimo" is a Spanish song meaning, "I will go with you." A newer version of this song was released in 1996, but it was renamed "A Time to Say Goodbye." It was recorded by Andrea Bocelli and Sarah Brightman. The lyrics of this song go like this: "There is no light if you're not here with me. Lands that I never shared with you, I shall experience with you on ships across seas that exist no more. With you, I will go. I know you are with me." Indeed, this is a beautiful Spanish love song. It reflects today's message of "Whither thou goest, I know you are with me." So on this final Sunday of the Easter season, we will learn the single most important message Christ gave to us from that cross is that God loved us so much. In essence, He said, "I would die rather than live without you." Thus saith the Lord, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.